ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. We are blessed to have two very smart and wise gentlemen. Brother Johnny is in Philo, so now he's at our new location, the brand new studios for the first time, Windsor and Boulder, near Windsor and Philo Road. Johnny, great to have you in.
Nice place you got here, Steve.
Nice place right here in Urbana.
It's awesome, isn't it? See all these windows. If you drive by, you can wave. Mike Ditka getting ready for ESPN game night tonight in Bristol, Connecticut. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good. I have a bad cold, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
The guy just keeps going and going, and we were just talking off the air. Had you taken a one-year interim job in New Orleans?
Mike, we need you, Mike.
The Saints are listless leader.
Man.
The Saints have no leader, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. You've heard all these so-called experts tell how the head coach doesn't matter. And I think even probably a lot of those people down in New Orleans didn't think it mattered that much because this team was really a good offensive football team. It matters. I tell you what matters more, not having that defensive coordinator. Whether you like the guy or you don't like the guy, he was a good coach.
Well, and
he had those guys playing good football. Now, they're not playing good, John. They don't fit. They don't tackle. They don't cover. I mean, and that puts all the pressure on the offense.
Well, and don't forget, with the offense not moving, the defense is out there more.
And I agree. They don't have the running game that they had. And it seems like they're coming, they're in a catch-up mode a lot of the time. And that's why they're throwing it so much. But when you start throwing that ball around 50 times a game, chances are you're not going to be very good. You might have good stats, but you're not going to be a good team.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's amazing the difference that a guy makes because we got the same players. Basically, we got the same offense, the best offense, Stevie, in the history of the NFL last year by yardage. And, you know, I'd understand it a little better if the Russian ballet troupe was trying to coach the offense. Because, number one, they don't speak English. And, number two, they're like ballet experts. We got the same guys that were watching Sean and Drew work, and we can't even sniff duplicating it, Mike. We can't do what we've been doing.
Well, I think there's something that goes to the work ethic, and Sean Payton is one heck of a guy, as you know, John. And I had the pleasure of... He played for me, and I got to know him, and he's a great guy. But I think, you know, he's a guy that quietly gets people to pull together to get the job done. And I think he had a good vision of understanding what you had to do to be successful. And I'm not sure everybody always has that same vision.
I think he's intense, too, Mike. He gets them focused and intense. And I think we're missing
that. Exactly. I mean, the one thing when you look at them right now, if I were to say one thing, it doesn't look like there's any sense of urgency.
That's what I see, too.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I don't understand that either. These guys are in the NFL. Well, there were some good games yesterday. The Bears win solid. The Rams aren't that great, but the Bears win their football game, Mike.
Well, they did. They did what they had to do. I mean, you know, some of the conversations coming out of Chicago were stupid. But, you know, here's the thing. If the Bears are going to be a good football team, guys, they're going to have to ride their defense and special team for a while until this guy wakes up as quarterback and understands you cannot turn the ball over. You can't turn it over. If you can't turn it over, they can be successful. If they're going to continue to turn it over, they will not be successful.
All right, and I did not think San Francisco would lose at Minnesota. Was Minnesota got anything going on this year?
I think you got to look around. I think we anointed San Francisco the king of the NFL, and I was one of the biggest supporters, and they went into Minnesota. I don't know if they took the Vikings lightly or not, and they got whipped. And that quarterback up in Minnesota really played a good football game, believe me. And their defense played good. They beat the 49ers. At the 49ers game, they did everything 49ers have been doing. They did it to them.
Yeah, and I thought last night, I thought that Baltimore and New England game, boy, they were hitting each other hard. I'm ready for the real officials to come back, but Baltimore kicks a field goal barely, 31-30 in the last second. The thing goes over the upright. It was close, and they said it was good, but it was close. And I tell you,
it was maybe one of the best football games you'll ever see, really. I mean, you hate to see anybody lose a game like that. They both played well.
Yeah.
They both played hard. And I didn't think the officiating was that bad. I mean, I heard, listen, guys, if it would have been the regular officials, you know, there probably wouldn't have been as much controversy because people wouldn't question it.
That's right. That's right.
All these people questioning it. Now, everything is questioned. Yeah. The only problem they're having is getting the calls down. They're a little slow at getting things done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they're a little more physical, allowing a little more. Is that true?
Here's what's happened now, and I mentioned that for the first week. They weren't calling the defensive penalties where they ride the receivers down the field with their hands. They're calling it now. Now everybody's mad, but they have a right to call it because you cannot do that. That's not part of football. You cannot touch the receiver after 5 yards.
Well,
the rule's a rule.
Let's face it, Mike. They were going to push that and push those guys until they did call.
Yeah,
it.
Right.
They were going to get
absolutely. So they're calling it now. Now everybody's mad about it. I looked at all the replays yesterday, and you know there might have been a couple. You might have said, "Well, that might have been or not been," but most of them were.
Yeah. All right. We're talking the NFL. It's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, 7:43 here. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Okay, we go to the tape from the weekend to get comments. Now we talk politics.
I've executed on my foreign policy, and it's one that the American people largely agree with. So, if Governor Romney is suggesting that we should start another war, he should say so.
All right, so everybody agrees with foreign policy, or most of us do. I guess this is from 60 Minutes last night, Johnny.
I don't know what he's talking about as far as executing anything. He's basically pulled American influence out of wherever he could, and I don't think he's indicated we want to lead the world or in any way, and I don't think Romney wants to start a war. So I don't know what he was talking about, Mike.
Well, he's not talking about anything. You don't get it. He's putting thoughts in people's heads. Well, people hear that, they say, well, maybe Romney wants to start another war. And that's all he's doing. He's a negative politician, period. And he's going to use every barb and trick he can to try to get through this thing. And that's who he is. That's what he is. I mean, guys, it's phonyism to the 10th degree. I'm sorry. And I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that, but to me, when you're phony, you're phony. He's a phony.
All right, we continued.
I understand and share Prime Minister Netanyahu's insistence that Iran should not obtain a nuclear weapon because it would threaten us, it would threaten Israel, and it would threaten the world and kick off a nuclear arms race. He seems to only have one note, tax cuts for the wealthy and rolling back regulations as a recipe for success. Well, we tried that vigorously between 2001 and 2008. And it didn't work out so well.
All right, and finally, one last comment from Senator.
There is no doubt that I've been disappointed in trying to get more cooperation from those folks, and that's something that we're going to have to continue to do.
He didn't need any cooperation for the first 2 years, so how can the Republicans be in his way now? I don't get it.
That's his only line, and he's just another excuse. Like Mike's right, he's just one excuse after another.
He fabricates things, guys, but you understand when you don't know and you just hear what he says and then, well, he must be right. He's bad Republican. They want to raise the taxes on the middle class. He wants to get rid of all these rights. But what's bogging this country down on the regulations, guy? Government doesn't have to be. Government should be involved in one thing, government, running the country. It's involved in every segment of our life.
Well, and the other thing, that too, that approach to raise the taxes on the middle class, there's a tax cut program that's been in place for years, and they want to extend it.
You know, let me go back and spin one other thing. You know, we've heard all this stuff finally about the taxes, Mitt Romney's taxes. He showed his taxes. Show your birth certificate.
No, right, exactly.
Come on. Well, you know, but the media doesn't push those things because it's not convenient because they really are. They're all in the same corner for them. I mean, that's just the way it is, guys. I mean, it's no other way. The mainstream media is in, they're in bed with them.
All right, let's hear Mitt Romney last night, also 60 Minutes.
Well, it doesn't need a turnaround. We got a campaign which is tied with an incumbent president of the United States. The principles I have are the principles I've had from the beginning of my political life. But have I learned? Have I found that some things I thought would be effective turned out not to be effective? Absolutely. If you don't learn from experience, don't learn from your mistakes, you ought to be fired. If you want to work together with people across the aisle, you lay out your principles and your policy, you work together with them, but you don't hand them a complete document and say, here, take this or leave it.
The president has a foreign policy that's been characterized as leading from behind. By the way, that's another word for being a follower.
Okay, so Mitt Romney last night also on 60 Minutes, and again, I said this earlier in the hour, I said, I don't know how in this election you can come out and say I'm undecided. How can you be undecided, Mike Ditka, when the paths are so clear?
Yeah, well, I agree with that, Steve. I really don't understand it either. I mean, I didn't see the thing because I was watching football the whole time, but let me say that I heard Romney's comments. I see nothing bad about that, but he's right. You know, when you don't have a record to run on, you must run down the other guy's record. That we go back, you know, throughout history that's happened. I have no positive record to run. You can't run on the economy. You can't run on your foreign policy. You can't run on the health care. I mean, you can't run on any of this stuff. And yet, so you turn on the other guy.
Well, I think, too, Stevie asked how could you be undecided? I actually think with the media, which is the most disappointing thing. I mean, I think we know where Barack Obama's come from by now. I mean, he's got a great line, and he'll kind of sugarcoat things, but he's pretty clear. He wants to spread the wealth. He wants to move towards a big, huge government, and he's made that very clear. But the media attacks Mitt Romney to the point where people are undecided because they're afraid to vote for him. Every little thing, whether it's good, bad, or in between, is an idiot. He's, oh, did you hear what he said? Oh, he did release his taxes. Did you see that? Did you see that? Look at that. Well, yeah, what about it? Well, it wasn't what he said. Yes, it was. But, oh, no, it wasn't. And just confusion and negativity and, well, should I really vote for this guy? And that's why they're undecided.
Because they don't know Mitt Romney.
They don't want to vote for Obama necessarily, but they don't know if the other guy's any better. And that's that's the strategy. That's the strategy because that's all that Mike's 100% right. That's the only strategy they got. Tear down the new guy because we got nothing to defend over here.
Well, you know, you lead from strength, not weakness, and you're dismantling your nuclear arsenal. No, nobody wants to have that, but if you don't lead from strength, you're going to be weak. I mean, we found this out throughout the history of this country. Reagan did it. He led the right way. That's why the world had an order at that time. Now, if you say, okay, we're not going to be one of the world powers nuclear-wise, then you know what? You're not going to be a world power because if you don't have strength, you don't have strength.
What Mitt Romney said was that he learned from his mistakes, and that's what I'm not seeing. If something's not working out, tweak it a little bit. Do something a little bit different. Don't just say, well, it didn't work because of that or because of that. Change something.
Here's the thing. Obama never made a mistake.
Well, that's a problem because
he when you really don't think you made a mistake, you don't understand it.
And you can't fix it.
All right. I want to play one more clip. And this one I thought a little disconcerting regarding all the outrage in Iran maybe getting a nuclear weapon. The president essentially called it noise.
How much pressure have you been getting from Prime Minister Netanyahu to make up your mind to use military force in Iran?
Well, look, I have conversations with Prime Minister Netanyahu all the time, and I understand and share Prime Minister Netanyahu's insistence that Iran should not obtain a nuclear weapon because it would threaten us, it would threaten Israel, and it would threaten the world and kick off a nuclear arms race.
You're saying you don't feel any pressure from Prime Minister Netanyahu in the middle of a campaign to try and get you to change your policy and draw a line in the sand? You don't feel any pressure?
When it comes to our national security decisions, any pressure that I feel is simply to do what's right for the American people. And I am going to block out any noise.
All right. In a noise, Ahmadinejad said essentially the same thing. He was on with Piers Morgan. And
who?
Piers Morgan, CNN. Nobody watches that show. It's where Larry
Netanyahu.
I'm sorry. Ahmadinejad was on with Piers Morgan.
Ahmadinejad's the Iranian president.
Right, Iranian president.
Well,
was
I didn't
on.
See that.
It was on. Well, Piers Morgan asked him hard questions like, do you think there'll be a war? Why don't you replay the part about blowing up Israel and see if that was the right translation? Mike, I want to annihilate Israel. We'll have to make the Israelis a little nervous.
Well, you know, you're right about CNN. Anybody that watches that stuff, you know, an idiot anyways, or Rachel Maddow or any of these wackos, you know, Morning Joe. My God, I turn through these things. I run through these people. And they're the most un-American, unthinking people I've ever heard in my life.
Well, in any event, Ahmadinejad and Benjamin Netanyahu, and in fact, MSNBC, and I shouldn't even cite them, but they said that both of them, they called Benjamin Netanyahu a real threat.
Okay, well.
Ahmadinejad, which I guess would line up with what MSNBC does a lot.
They don't get it. They just don't get it. I mean, it's so pathetic. They just don't get it.
Well, I think that's true, and that's a different perspective or interpretation. For instance, I don't see how you can call what we've seen in the news reports in the Middle East that not anti-American. There's a lot of anti-American sentiment. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't understand why there was such reluctance to say this was a terrorist attack. I mean, Robert Gibbs over the weekend was still coming out and saying, well, we're still investigating. We're still investigating. We have parts of
It's not about a movie. You know, it's about a lot of things, but, you know, it is a terrorist attack to a degree. I mean, you don't have those kind of weapons just handy. You can pick them up at the hardware store and all right, bring them out on that day. You know, there was a reason for all this happening.
Well, it was a planned attack, but I think the motive for kind of putting a gray cloud over it is that they don't want any pressure to attack any other group or country. They just don't want to start that conversation. But I don't think that justifies saying it wasn't a terror attack when it was.
Who was the guy? Neville Chamberlain? Wasn't he a peaser?
Well, sure. And the appeasing doesn't work. It's just never worked with anybody. And so,
you guys are saying it was very interesting. And I was thinking about it. I went back to the class reunion, and you know, I was born, you know, right during the World War II. And so I'm thinking, where would our country, if we had the same mentality today, the same media, where would we be today when we had to get through World War II? We had to make the tough decisions, you know, that were made to get us through World War II, make the tough decisions to do the other things we've done since. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me. Well, everything was positive in the media at that time. And it didn't matter what we were doing. It was the right thing. Because it was America, we were doing it because we wanted to stay a free country. I mean, I'm not sure I understand the media.
Well, I think at that time, Mike, we had one thing going for us that we're slipping away, which is we knew what was at least what was wrong and what we all agreed was wrong. So we could fight that. Now we don't even
Absolutely.
Know which way is
right. Yeah, that's true, John.
Yeah, well, we don't agree on anything.
No,
right.
It's
no.
It's just we don't know what's
that's right,
right.
What's right, what's wrong,
exactly.
What's up, what's down.
Exactly, and that's a problem.
And what hurts me as much as anything is you don't feel like that the people leading, some of the people leading our nation, like America. What?
Well,
I love America.
I don't think it's the word is like. I think that we keep making apologies for who we are, and maybe for former policies that were made. But still, that's not right. Either you're American or you're not. And if you're not, get the hell out of America. That's all. It's no big deal. You don't have to agree with everything we do, but if you don't like it, go somewhere else. I mean, that's what's so great about this country. You can go somewhere else if you want to. Nobody's going to put you in jail for not liking it.
And I thought Alex Baldwin was going somewhere else.
Well, he was just kidding. But I'll tell you, I like a debate.
He's such a hypocrite, too. That's another hypocrite. And so is Clinton. Clinton doesn't even like this guy. And he's like, well, we tried that before. It didn't work, you know that.
No. I'll tell you, Mike. I think we could have a debate without being so anti each other. There's just too big a split, too much intensity on either side, and I don't know how that evolved to that because we're not acting as one nation pulling together.
No.
We're acting as kind of two fighting for one side or the other, and eventually that's going to come home to roost. That's not going to
Ted.
How can we be the country that we are not passed the budget? I mean, come on. It doesn't make any sense.
Ted Koppel did a special for NBC, and he essentially said, because of cable news, it's impossible now, with all the grandstanding, to ever come to any consensus on anything.
Well, I think that means that we're not able to manipulate your thinking
the
way we want to.
Then here's what I would say. If that's the case, get rid of all cable news.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think, what
Ted. We can't do that. Yeah, I understand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, finally, Green Bay at Seattle. Mike, we'll watch you on ESPN tonight. What do you think? Can the Pack win at Seattle?
Well, I'll tell you what. Seattle's awfully good at home. And I like this team starting this season. I like what Pete's doing out there. I think the Packers are special. But, guys, this is going to be a tough game for them up there tonight. And you know, the young quarterback from Seattle, you got to get his name out. Can't get his name out right now. But anyways,
Russell Wilson. Yeah.
I really like him coming into the season. And I think that, you know, he's not a real tall guy, but I think he's going to play well. But I tell you what, if you're asking me, I still like the Packers, man.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I'm cringing because next Sunday we're going up to Lambeau Field, and I don't know what our defense is going to do up there. We're in trouble, buddy.
I tell you what, they better wear a different color uniform.
Oh, boy.
Well, I got to tell Barb and Jeff, I don't think I'm going to that game after. Because I was thinking of going, but, man, I don't know. Mike, we got problems with that one. Holy cow.
Hey, Mike, Johnny, always a pleasure. We will reconvene on Friday. Mike, we'll watch you tonight on ESPN. You look great as always.
All right, thanks, you guys. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny.
This is the